During the summer, we have been, as I said, walking through the New Testament week by week by week, and each week the preacher has been able to choose which of the passages from the previous week is their favorite. And so today's passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, is my favorite from this past week. I hope you'll see why. This is Paul's words to the church in Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I wonder which of you have seen the game show To Tell the Truth? Anybody seen it? So some of you, I see some hands go up. It has been on, off and on, since the 1950s, and it is still playing on Sunday nights on ABC right now, this summer. So those of you who haven't seen it, I'll tell you the setup. There are three contestants, and they all claim to have the same personality, the same profession, or the same person. So one of them might say, "I was a Harlem Globetrotter." And the next person says, "I was a Harlem Globetrotter." And then what does the next person say? "I was a Harlem Globetrotter," right? And their whole point is to try to convince the four celebrities that they are actually the Harlem Globetrotter. Now, of course, only one of them was a Harlem Globetrotter. So the celebrities ask questions and try to figure out who it is, and then when it's time for the celebrities to make their guess, they all register, and then the announcer says, "Will the real Harlem Globetrotter please stand up?" And then there's some shuffling around, and one will stand up and sit down, and then finally the one that is the real Harlem Globetrotter stands up. Now, as I said, this has been going on since the 1950s, and I think that one of the reasons that it is so popular is because it is not always easy to figure out who the Harlem Globetrotter actually is. Now, of course, it's in the contestants' best interest to try to convince the celebrities that they're the Harlem Globetrotter, but it is something about the celebrities also. Because the celebrities come with an idea already in their mind about what a Harlem Globetrotter is like. Now, it might be a hobbit hole digger, it might be a treasure hunter, it might be a coach for Miss Americas, but you get the idea. But the celebrities come with an idea in their mind, a preconceived notion of what they think a Harlem Globetrotter is like. And so the contestants can kind of feed into their preconceived notions to try to get them to guess that they are actually the one. Now, this game started 70 years ago, not 2,000 years ago, but I think Paul actually would have enjoyed this game because he had to deal with the same problem as he was writing to the Corinthians. Because the Corinthians and Paul had ideas about what the church was like. The Corinthians had some ideas that they thought about. They knew what a church was. They had these preconceived notions that they knew what a church was, and Paul had other ideas. So to get them to tell the truth, Paul uses this imagery of the body of Christ, right? It's this long, drawn-out story about the eyes and the ears and the noses and the feet and the hands. There was a woman in the Wednesday Bible study who, when we finished reading it, said, "This sounds like a medical journal." Paul uses this image of the body of Christ. It's one that has stuck with us for centuries, and Paul uses it over and over because it helps us to understand the different parts of the body. Now, Paul uses it in different places, but this is the longest, most drawn-out version explaining what the body of Christ is. The thing is, Paul didn't come up with the idea of using a body to represent different people in a community. In fact, back in those days when Paul was writing, it was very commonplace for people to say that some people are like a head and some people are like feet and some people are like hands. It was so common, in fact, they had a name for this kind of rhetorical commonplace, this approach. It's called a topos for you Greek scholars out there, T-O-P-O-S. The idea that different people are different parts of the body. Now, the trick, of course, is how are the different parts of the body related to each other? Are they related closely to each other? Can you get by without some of the parts of the body? Do you need all of the parts of the body? Are some parts more important than others? And to get to that, of course, we need to know if the real body of Christ will please stand up. So I want you to imagine for a second you're in a game show. Maybe you're the celebrities at the game show. You look like celebrities this morning. You all are the celebrities at the game show. And you hear the announcer say that the body of Christ has many different forms. The body of Christ could be a small group. The body of Christ could be a church. The body of Christ could be a denomination. It could be Catholics. The body of Christ could be Greek Orthodox. It could be Presbyterians. It could be non-denominational. The body of Christ is every Christian everywhere, and the body of Christ is where two or three are gathered together. And so the first contestant stands up and says, "I am the body of Christ." And he says, "There are two things you need to know about me, just two things. The first is, you know that my members, they're not really that attached to each other. The body of Christ is really kind of like a social club. But it's like one of those clubs where you don't have to sit by the people you don't know, and you don't have to sit by the people you don't like. People come in and out of the club, and it's not really a place where we get that close together. So the first thing I need you to know is that the members of the body of Christ are not really that close together. And then the second thing you need to know is that we don't even really need all of them. Right? So if everyone in the body of Christ is all white, or all black, or all rich, or all poor, or all young, or all old, it doesn't really matter at all. The only thing that matters is whether some of us are there. You know, so we don't need everybody in the body of Christ. So those are the two things you need to know about the body of Christ, and I'm the body of Christ. So you celebrities out there, you kind of think about, does that sound like the body of Christ to me? And then the second contestant stands up and says, no, I'm the body of Christ, and there are two things you need to know about me. The first thing is that we, the members of the body of Christ, are not just joined together, it's that the Holy Spirit has joined us together in baptism. That God has put us together. It's almost mystical. It's not just like joining some kind of club. It's like this mystical arrangement where we are together and we need each other. And it's not like a club you can come into and out of. Once you're baptized, you're in it. And you're close. And you're tight. And the second thing you need to know about the body of Christ is that every single member is vital. We can't be the body of Christ without everybody there. So we need people who are different from us. They teach us things that we don't know. We teach them things that they don't know. We need every single member in the body of Christ. So those are the two things you need to know about the body of Christ. Now, it's a slow day for contestants on To Tell the Truth this morning, so there are only two. And so the announcer then says, ask the celebrities, you all, to make your guesses about which one is the body of Christ. Right? And then we'll say, will the real body of Christ please stand up? So which one is it? This number one or number two? Number one or number two? Which you can say it out loud. It's okay. Number one or number two? Number two, right? It's kind of obvious, right? Either you all are a lot smarter than the celebrities on To Tell the Truth, or I've set it up to be a little bit easier. Right, it's easy, right, to think about how in the body of Christ we're bound together in baptism, and it's easy to think about how we need all members. It's, I think, seductive because it's very easy to think that those things are what makes up the body of Christ, but it's a whole different thing to actually be the body of Christ like this. In fact, that's why Paul was writing the Corinthians. I have a feeling the Corinthians knew which one was the right body of Christ, but they had a hard time putting it into practice. They were divided from each other. They ignored each other. They marginalized each other. I don't think it was a surprise to them which one was the real body of Christ. The surprise was that Paul actually expected them to live up to being the real body of Christ. And what happened back in Corinth, I think, happens now today. The hard part is not knowing which one we're supposed to. The hard part is actually becoming the body of Christ. So let's take, for example, the idea that all of us are tied together as the body of Christ, no matter our background, that we're kind of mystically joined together. That's something that's hard to remember and put into practice. Or at least it has been for me. So I preached 2 weeks ago on July the 8th. And on July 7th, I don't know if you remember, but on July 7th, there was a giant march on the Dan Ryan Expressway. So I'm seeing a couple of nods that shut down the highway. And there was a priest who started that march, who was the animator for that march. And the reason that he wanted to have that march was to draw attention to the fact that gun violence in South Chicago has taken hundreds of lives in the poorest ones of our city. Now, apparently, as I've been reading about this, the priest is quite controversial. And of course, this is Illinois, so the governor and the mayor had to get in a big fight about it, too. And then, you know, we could debate whether it's really the right place to have a march on the highway or not. But I want to put those controversies aside for a second. And just think about that there were thousands of people, probably most of them Christians, certainly many of them Christians, who want to end gun violence in their part of the city. Now, that's a problem that we don't have up here. And so it was very easy for me to preach my sermon that Sunday without mentioning anything about that march or about the conditions that led them to want to have the march. In fact, you know, it didn't even occur to me to mention that in my sermon until later that day. I missed the Holy Spirit telling me that in the body of Christ, we are bound together mystically through our neighborhood, throughout the world, with other brothers and sisters of Christ, other children of God. I missed that still small voice reminding me that in baptism we are joined together with them. And the thing is, I don't tell you that because I think it's important for my sermons to include a confessional moment. I tell you that because I don't think I'm the only one who struggles with this problem. I don't think I'm the only one that forgets that we are joined together with Christians all over the world, and that when one suffers, we all suffer, as Paul puts it. So what would it look like if we lived out that part of the body of Christ? If we remember that we were indeed bound together with Christians everywhere. I think it's a challenge that we can crack because we have cracked what it looks like to be the body of Christ here in this church. That gives me confidence that we can do it outside of the church too. This week when we were going through this story in that Bible study on Wednesday, we were going through the story of the heads and the arms and the hands, and I thought about Carolyn Kinney, who is a very beloved member of the congregation. And Carolyn has recently had surgery to remove her left arm and shoulder because it would keep her cancer from spreading. And last week when I looked out, and you can look out today again, last week she was sitting right there. This week she's sitting right here beaming and glowing despite her surgery and her recovery. And it is so clear to me that God is equipping her and strengthening her and healing her. And Carolyn, we're so glad that you're here today. And Carolyn, I called Carolyn to ask her what it sounds like to read this scripture now after her surgery than it did before. And I learned a lot, and she told me I could share it with you. She said, of course, there are some things that are much, much, much harder to do with only one arm. In fact, she says there are some things you simply can't do. There was a physical therapist who came to help her with her recovery, and she came and brought a list of exercises, and one of them was, give yourself a big hug like this. And one of them was, clap your hands together like this. And Carolyn said that it took a little bit, but the woman said, oh, I don't suppose you can do that. And Carolyn said, no, I don't suppose I can. So there are some things you simply cannot do if all of your members are not there. But she said even the things that you can still do are much harder to do with only one arm than they are with two. She said, of course I can still do them, but why would I want to do them without both arms? So in the same way, why would the church want to do ministry without all of its members? Sure, of course, you can do it, but it's a lot harder and it takes a lot longer. But why would you want to do it without all of the members working together? Carolyn's remarks have reminded me that it takes all of us together to proclaim the gospel. It's what Paul said. We need every member to do it well and to do it right. We need every member to proclaim the good news of the gospel. We need every member to work for social justice. We need every member to care for the orphans and the widows and the sick. We need every member for the real body of Christ to stand up. But Carolyn also told me that that's what you're doing. You're the body of Christ. And you have been standing up for her and for Kent, her equally beloved husband. You have been standing up for her. Carolyn said that until the operation, or after the operation, she has a much better idea of the completeness and the lavishness of God's love for her. And that until we experience some kind of suffering, it's hard to imagine how much God loves us. And you, who have stood up as the real body of Christ, have shown her that love. You've shown it with the meals you've brought. You've shown it with the prayers you've prayed, with the visits you've made, with the calls you've made. You have joined together as one, every member that's important, and joined Christ's mission to Carolyn and to the world. That's what it looks like when the real body of Christ, please, stands up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.